Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, welcome back. The 11 o'clock hour rolls along and gets started, I guess. We are two picks away from the Bills selecting. The Ravens pick is in. Jalen McMillan just comes off the board, the third Washington receiver. And Troy Franklin continues to plot around waiting to be picked.
You know, you mentioned Troy Franklin, and like the bulk thing is the concern here, Zach. Mm-hmm. And I just saw a commercial for a Wendy's Cinnabon. Just get that man a couple Wendy's Cinnabons. He'll get there.
We were joking about it, but like, you hope. I think it's the thing of he's not very big. He didn't have very good straight line speed. He was in a very gimmicky offense that was kind of hurting Bo Nix's draft prospects as well, because he threw short.
Oh yeah, his 12th overall really got hurt there.
I mean, in the sense of a lot of people, like, it had to be Denver or nobody, because, you know, he made Drew Brees with no shoulder work for years.
Yeah.
I wonder when he's coming off the board, because I'm now even looking at the Bills going, I don't know if that really
Baltimore
fits.
Might be a place for it.
Could be, absolutely. The Troy Franklin fall has been really interesting, because, again, a month ago, he was considered a guy that could be gone at, like, pick 33, 34, a fringe first-round pick, and instead it's just nothing. Like, I mean, his name's not being brought up. Receivers are going above him. Not many. I mean, because, again, that runner receiver really never happened, but enough to where it's like, okay, like, he's... The NFL clearly doesn't like him.
By the way, Chris Ballard, the Colts GM, going on the your guys...
First of all, before we even get to that, what's up with the dude's hair?
Chris Ballard?
Yeah, he looks like an idiot.
I gotta see this now. I only saw the quote. His hair.
That's an attack right there.
Looks like an idiot.
Yeah, you're not happy about it. You're upset.
I need to see it. Zach, if
you... Oh, no, Nate's right.
Hang on, show this to me. Nate's right.
Nate's right.
Oh, my God.
That's tough. That's really actually
quite
bad.
Guy looks like Carrot Top.
That's quite bad.
Like, it looks like adult Carrot Top.
Yeah. Like he's going out to an event and they're like, dude, like, dress up appropriately.
Yeah.
That's bad. In case anyone was wondering, the comments he made about Adonai Mitchell, his pick from tonight, he basically went on a tirade about the perceived character issues.
The report that was released.
Dropping a few swear words in there as well with the media.
That would have been a spicy one for us here.
Oh, very spicy. And yeah, thing is, I mean, me and Nate were talking about it during the update there, too. It's like, then why didn't you pick him earlier?
Adisa Isaac going
linebacker
to Baltimore.
Ooh, we've got a run on linebackers.
Yeah, edge player. This is more of an edge player.
He's more of an edge guy, but listed as a linebacker.
Listed
here from
linebackers.
ESPN.
We've got a run. Here we go.
All right. But now Green Bay. No, not Green Bay. Philadelphia is up, and then it's Buffalo. Our night is almost over. And for our listeners, they're like, mercifully.
I totally thought they were going to trade up again.
I thought so too.
I really did.
I really did.
It was killing me at a certain point, because I'm like, and I'm still sitting here going, you have four fifth round picks.
So let's look ahead then with the Bills, where they're going to be sitting at here, and more or less trying to figure out what they're going to do heading forward here. They have the one selection late in the fourth round, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have 6, 9, 25, and 28 in the fifth round. So I would imagine they might take one of those fifths, or two of those fifths, package it, and move up in the fourth round.
Maybe, yeah.
Or like just straight up get another pick in the fourth round.
Yeah.
And then stay at 28 in the fourth round and pick twice there. That might be it.
Yeah. I'm gonna call my pick here for the Bills at 95. I think it's going to be Tez Walker out of North Carolina.
I think it's going to be Javon Baker.
I'm with Nate. I'm with Nate. Jevon Baker was a very popular third round prognostication for Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can get ourselves into that position there to do so. I don't know, man. Troy Franklin just sounds more and more interesting to me. Like, why is he falling like this?
I'm having now the problem of Franklin sounded super interesting to start today. Not my favorite option by any means. But he sounded more interesting at the start of the night.
But the more he's falling, the more you're just like, maybe just not.
Yeah, because I think now it's like, man, maybe I really was overlooking some of the issues. And I think at that point now, I'm like, maybe I was. That just he really is slender. The combine really did not help him. It's not just the 40 time. It's kind of everything that he just had a really, really bad workout. The Bills did bring him in for one of their top 30 workouts. They also brought in guys like Tez Walker. Walker, I'm saying because he's the guy that I'm going for, is a guy that's almost 6'2". He's around 200 pounds. His 40-yard dash, 4.36. He adds the size. He has the speed.
Jalix Hunt, the edge rusher out of Houston Christian.
Huh.
Is the Philadelphia Eagles selection at pick 94. That means that Buffalo is on the clock.
That is a lot of potential there, I would imagine. That's a lot of potential that they're drafting there for.
6.5 sacks in 2023 for the edge rusher out of Houston Christian, Jalix Hunt. So that's two edge rushers in a row, by the way.
Jalix Hunt, he is Dane Brugler's 13th edge rusher on his board. However, he did have a 4th/5th round grade on him.
I mean, again, we're at the end of round three,
yeah.
So if you've got a 4th-round grade on someone, it's not a reach at this point, I don't think. It's fine. It's fine. We're fine. And now Buffalo's up. We get to see what they're going to do here. You think it's going to be Walker. We think Baker. Troy Franklin is still fascinating to me that he's still available here. And who knows what we've got here. If it's a double dip, the wide receiver train gets to go home happy after 2 days. After day two, I should say. The wide receiver train was not happy at all.
No.
Yesterday. Oh, the pick is in. Here we go.
Eighth pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Dwayne Carter, defensive tackle, Duke.
All right.
He was the first three-time team captain in Duke football.
Okay.
Dwayne Carter.
Defensive tackle. Dwayne Carter, big guy, 6'2". 302 looks like he's probably a 3 tech, right?
Probably.
No, he's playing 1 tech in this video.
I mean, college football is a different. Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Right. The first highlight we saw, he just
seeing him play some nose.
Oh, the most Bills thing I've ever seen. 3-time team captain on Duke. I'm sorry. Like that's I'm not, I don't want to say it as like a negative. Like that is a Bills move there. I'm fine with it.
First team All-ACC last year. This looks like a good rotational piece to me.
Yeah, I would say definitely to start.
Gotta love that. Hey, there it is. Bills go defensive tackle there with their third round selection. And that means, what do we have left for the Bills? Well, we've got a lot. We've got the 4th round selection, 28th pick in the 4th round. And then, again, 4 5th-round picks, the 6th, 9th, 25th, and 28th picks in the 5th round. Then they have their 6th-round selection near the end at 28 in the 6th round. And then the first pick in round 7, which should wrap up their day.
Let me get you guys some more information about Dwayne Carter. 5th-year senior, 6'2", 302, ran a sub-5 40-yard dash for a defensive tackle, pretty good. And coming in at 23 years old, so the oldest Bills player so far in this draft. But good measurables, a lot of experience, and again, a 3-year captain at the University of Duke.
10 sacks, 7 forced fumbles over the last 2 seasons for Carter as well. So there's been a lot of production, it looks like, here. And ESPN had him around 94th, actually. So right where he should
they nailed that.
Right where he should be taken, according to ESPN scouting. So this looks like it would be just solid value for where he is, where he should be. Considering the runs on D tackles, that is a pretty darn good report we're getting back here about, again, more meat being taken.
Yeah. I was wondering if the Bills were going to jump into...
Beef is on the menu.
But I was wondering if the Bills were going to jump into the trenches.
Beef, it's what's for dinner. We need to go home.
Oh, no. I thought I was going to hit the meats back on the menu.
We had the meats.
There you go. There you go.
I don't know if Arby's death squad is going to come after me for that, but you know.
How many more picks do we have left in the third round here?
I've got you. Great news.
We've got five.
Yeah, five.
Five more picks. Five more picks, and obviously we will be hearing from our own Sal Capaccio
and Brandon Bean very soon.
And General Manager Brandon Bean, hopefully quickly here.
I am so interested. If like
it will not be at 1 o'clock a.m.
That's a huge win for everybody.
That's a huge win for everybody.
It'll happen before Saturday. That's huge.
Yeah. And speaking of Saturday, by the way, we're back on Saturday for you. And everyone's just like, dear God, no. But DJ TJ will be back on the board there as well. Evan, you've been doing a great job on Mission Control here for us today. And I will get things started at 11, just me. So cower in fear. But then Zach and Nate, we come in at 12 o'clock. We're on Facebook tomorrow, aren't we?
We're on Facebook Live.
You get to see our faces, too, instead of just our stupid voices.
Yeah, it'll be from 12 to 3. That should be a lot of fun.
Nate, you should rub your face on the microphone on Facebook Live. Do it.
Sure.
As much as I hate it.
Sure.
As much as I'll take the headphones off so that I will, so that I can avoid it.
Anything for the content, you know?
Yeah, you know, for the Facebook. If you want
to. For the content.
But, you know, we've had ourselves a very productive day, too. I will gladly encourage people, if you've got thoughts about how the first 2 days were, how you were feeling, how everything's looking for the Bills, by all means, tomorrow we're going to have a lot of freewheeling and dealing. I'm sure we would like to hear from all of you as well about how you're feeling about this one. Wide receiver train, we get one in Keon Coleman, and then safety, defensive tackle. Pretty much we're getting some depth pieces here, and in the terms of Cole Bishop, a player that should be at the helm of the secondary for a long time to come.
Just want to say this real quick on a defensive player we were somewhat talking about, but not really, a linebacker on NC State, Peyton Wilson. Apparently Rappaport on NFL Network a few minutes ago says a big reason why he's falling in the draft, quote, one of his knees does not have an ACL.
Oh.
Well, that'll come out in the medicals, won't it?
That sent a chill down my spine.
They didn't replace it? They didn't, like, put an extra one in there?
The quote just ends of one of his knees does not have an ACL.
That doesn't seem medically possible.
I would say that's relatable, but it's not.
That's incredible.
The Jacksonville Jaguars take Jerrion Jones, corner out of Florida State.
Do we have to revisit the Troy Franklin conversation tomorrow?
I think we're going to have to.
Yeah. It's fascinating.
I think we're going to have to.
Genuinely fascinating.
Really?
Especially when we have 6 and 9
at this point,
I'd rather
have Javon Baker.
Yeah, I'm kind of at the Tez Walker thing. I think he continues to add size, speed for them. He adds in a different dimension. I'd love to see what he would have been with Drake May if he had played the whole year, if he did not have some of the stuff with NCAA.
That big board is right behind me, by the way, and I think now that we're in the last three picks of the third round, I think we got a little carried away.
I think everybody did. Like not even just
no, I know,
Buffalo,
but, like us, I feel like we should take some of the blame.
But I mean, like this was what this class was touted was offensive tackle, wide receiver. Those are the deepest positions by a country mile.
And there's been a
lot of these teams who have just been like, no, we're going to take defensive tackle, even in a class that was projected to not be that good.
The second round did have a run on the defensive tackles, but
yet
8 offensive linemen in the first round. 7 wide receivers in the first round. So it's not like it was wrong, that prognostication. Mm-hmm. Like, they were hit heavy and very quickly.
Yeah.
So it's not like I would say that it's necessarily wrong or incorrect. It's just maybe the depth is being tested in terms of its value right now.
I don't think it's being tested. I think because of the value, people are getting pushed down, other positions are being prioritized because they know that if wide receiver 9
if the depth
through
is there,
17
we can skip it.
9 through 17 are all the same, then we're good with 14 or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
When I say something about it being
another
tested,
defensive tackle for Cincinnati.
McKinley Jackson, okay.
Out of A&M.
So when
good
I say
defensive team, could not score.
When I say the tested part, it's more or less like how much it was truly valued, that depth, because, yeah, like you guys said, like there's other needs right now, and if you can go ahead and push that down knowing that help is going to be available, you can keep going, and figure it out from there.
I feel like at some point,
where's
though,
the spring load going to come out, though?
I would have imagined at some point teams just decided, screw it. Like it's a need.
How many Mentos do you have to shove in the Diet Coke before it goes off?
I also think, though, a lot of these guys just have such clear-cut red flags and worries that it has pushed guys to we're not willing to take that risk. We'll take a guy that, yeah, maybe just a depth piece on our defensive line or offensive line, but it could help us, you know, now where some of these receivers, I wonder if certain teams are thinking we can't get them on the field. Just the specific player they are, we cannot get them on the field. Like, the Bills may look at Troy Franklin and go, he's at best a gadget guy for us. We can't really do much with him.
Yeah.
Where, again, they take Keon Coleman at the top, the first pick of today, they look at him as an everything guy. Where they may look at Franklin and go, where are we supposed to put him? We have Curtis Samuel already. We have Khalil Shakir already. He's not stretching the field. He's more of a guy that takes, you know, screens.
At some point, though, the speed of Franklin, for example, like at some point, someone's going to take this.
I would imagine, but man, he's going to go into the fourth round.
You know, Pittsburgh might do it here.
As is a guy like Javon Baker, who was, I won't even say he's a late riser, just a guy that a lot of draft junkies just really liked him, just flat out liked him.
And now he might just, like a fellow UCF receiver, go in the fourth round.
Go in the fourth round.
Yep.
It's going to be really
good. Value's going to be there, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the value's going to be there.
Value's going to be there for some of the guys that are behind my right shoulder.
Not many two left on that, by the way.
Let me turn around and look.
There's not too many left.
Three.
Okay. There are three. Troy Franklin, Devontae Walker, Javon Baker.
You also got guys still like Malik Washington's out there.
Like him a lot.
Brendan Rice, Jacob Cowing.
Should I just take Coleman and like throw it up at the top?
I mean, you could do that. You could do
that. I feel
like
I want to.
Johnny Wilson, the other Florida State receiver as well, 6'7". He's somebody that's kind of interesting, I guess.
There's talks about him probably being a better fit at tight end NFL if somebody's willing to move him.
Probably. Jameer Thrash as well. Luke McCaffrey. Yeah, there's a lot of guys. Cornelius Johnson, the other Michigan receiver as well.
Way to go. You screwed it up. Way to go, Derek.
Good job.
He's up at the top. It's fine.
He's up at the top.
He's at the top. Number one in our hearts, Keon Coleman. There you go. You're welcome.
There you go.
For something that nobody asked for.
That's okay. That's all right.
But we're waiting on Brandon Bean, waiting on Sal Capaccio. We're going to see what's going on down at One Bills Drive as the first round is getting things going, or finishing up, I should say. And then we've got day three, round four, five, six, and seven.
Seven.
Oh, there we go. Just mentioned a guy that doesn't have an ACL. He goes to the Steelers linebacker, Peyton Wilson.
Oh boy.
Of NC State.
They love taking really injured linebackers that don't end up doing anything. So.
Oh my.
All right, let's go to Sal Capaccio. Joins us live from One Bills Drive on the Wester Hotline. Sal, a defensive tackle. They run, we talked about it earlier. The second round had 20 defensive players. So the Bills get their safety, and I think, you know, I don't even want to say low-key. I think there was a real need for the Bills to solidify the interior part of the defensive line, Sal, with some youth. They signed a couple of guys on one-year contracts into their 30s. They needed a youth movement on the interior part of the defensive line, and they get that with 23-year-old Dwayne Carter.
You know, guys, they've really overhauled three positions majorly this offseason. Wide receiver, obviously, with the changes that were made, out were your number one and two. Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, in come a new one and two, however you want to kind of classify them or whatever. But, you know, near the top of the depth chart, obviously, Curtis Samuel and now Keon Coleman. Another one is safety. Now, Taylor Rapp comes back, but no more Hayden Poyer is obviously a huge change after what we've seen for the last 7 years. Mike Edwards is signed. They draft Cole Bishop to add to that group. And then defensive line, you know, I mean, for a group, for a team that has had kind of a, you know, a one-year guy that comes in and resigns, and we've done that thing with Jordan Phillips a couple of years. You have Tin Settle. You have guys who come in and out, Mario Addison, Quentin Jefferson. They're kind of doing that again, but even more so here on the D-line. Now, obviously, Oliver and Jones, but then they go out and they sign Austin Johnson and Deshaun Williams. And now here comes, I forgot his name, the guy they just drafted.
Yep.
Dwayne Carter.
And, it's Lil Wayne's name. That's Dwayne easy Carter. To remember that way. It's easy to remember that. It's Lil Wayne's name.
I got it.
So yeah, that's going to be hard.
But you know, you're right.
On.
I mean, they're they're going to be a little bit younger there with that. But he's a rotational piece. I mean, that's what all defensive linemen are, especially in the interior. You know, on this defense. So, you know, that's what he'll play, and they needed to add bodies there. This pick is more about I would say, you know, adding bodies and depth than anything else for this team. But it kind of went to script. I was just Matt Bove said, what do you think they do? And I said, they got to grab a D lineman soon. I mean, it's just what they do. They need bodies. And sure enough, it was a D lineman. I just think you just look at the roster and it just made the most sense.
Sal, let me ask you, generally speaking, the Bills are going to go into day three of this draft with a fourth and four fifths. I was a little surprised they stayed put at 95 and didn't maneuver their way up, but, you know, they clearly, they're following their board. Any thoughts on, you know, you would imagine they're not going to make all five of, or all four of those fifth round picks, correct?
I would imagine they wouldn't. And once we get to tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon when the draft starts, my guess is we're going to be kind of, you know, on alert for them to trade up. They're going to use, you know, they have four fifth rounders. A couple of years ago, though, someone had, I think it was the Ravens. Didn't the Ravens have like five picks in a round? And we're like, there's no way. And they used them all. There was something like that a couple of years ago. You never know, right? You got to have a dance partner if you want to do it. I've never believed they would come out of this draft with 10 picks anyway. So, you know, I mean, it's going to be hard for 10 players to be drafted to sign to crack the roster, even with the changes. But you never know. I mean, they may do it. So I don't think so. I think that you'll probably see them move up the board a little bit tomorrow. They'll use some of that capital. And who knows? You know, maybe they use some of that capital to get something for next year, guys. I mean, that, you know, maybe a fifth rounder turns into a fourth rounder next year, because that's how it works. And the Bills believe that maybe they could get something like that for a team that, you know, really wants a player and wants, is itching to get up.
Sal, you mentioned the Ravens thing. You nailed it. They had six fourth round picks and they used them all in 2022.
There you go.
Zach's face.
I remember that.
Six.
It's amazing.
Six,
and I'm like, I remember that day, and I'm like, they have six picks. There's no way they're using them all. And then they did.
And they're like, oh, silly, silly Sal. They're using all of them.
I've spent the last 2 hours, Sal, going, yeah, there's no way they're going to use all four of their fits. Apparently, the Baltimore Ravens are like, we'll one up you.
A couple of years. Six. This was 2 years ago. Yeah.
The fourth.
Oh. So there you go. There's your fun.
And they didn't
fact.
Trade any of them either. They were slotted for them, and they used them all. It wasn't like they traded into them.
Sal, let me ask you, too. So, obviously, going into tomorrow, and obviously we're waiting on Brandon Bean and his press conference to wrap up day two. Going into day three, what are some positions maybe you're looking at for the Bills? Is there anything really left on your checklist for, like, hey, this is a position I think that they need to address where, you know, maybe if they do stay put in the fifth round, you know, they can tally off some other needs that are left in this draft?
I think edge. They got to get another edge somewhere to maybe, you know, get a young guy in here who can kind of play the edge. And then, you know, look, I'm the guy telling you for the last couple of weeks, stop. I mean, I did the video going off on people, not really. I mean, saying stop mocking them a corner. Well, now is the time you can take a corner, guys. To me, it wasn't about round one. Now I'm ready to do a video and go, okay, now it's okay to take corner. So it just never made sense. They were never going to draft a corner in round one.
Luke McCaffrey.
And to, now it's time. You need corners.
Luke McCaffrey off the board.
Did he just get drafted?
Yeah.
Makes it to the last pick of round three.
Last pick of round three is Luke McCaffrey, who played quarterback his first year of college and then transferred to Rice, became a receiver. So he's a little raw. But Sale... We've just feels.
Hey,
crazy.
Listen, guys, I got to jump on the Zoom for Dwayne Carter right now.
All right, hop on, Sal. Sal's headed over to talk to Dwayne Carter. We'll hear from Dwayne probably not tonight, more likely tomorrow.
Yeah, if I'm Troy Franklin's agent, I'm just driving to McDonald's and getting him four McDoubles.
I don't know if that's going to help.
The weight, we got to get him up there.
Luke McCaffrey, again, played quarterback at the University of Nebraska. And then switched to wide receiver and is the last pick of the third round. So another McCaffrey in the league.
I mean, yeah.
Interesting way to end round three, to say the least. But yeah, Javon Baker and Troy Franklin and Devontae Walker, they still are hanging around in round four. That's going to be interesting. Good value could be had here. Round four is low-key a really fun time because you can really start getting some value picks. Like, in round three, you're still looking at possibly getting a guy that's a rotational expected player.
But you can also get
a contributor.
Or
even a low-key starter.
Yeah.
And in round four, you start to think about, okay, you need depth pieces, guys that can possibly be nice value picks for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows for an opportunity there for you to help build the middle of your team with its depth.
Because I think that's the thing is, like, I get to around really, it's round five is when it starts to become like, okay, is this guy going to make the roster on a good team? You know, really, what's this pick for and stuff like that? Round four is kind of the last time where I'm like, okay, this is going to be a round where you can get serious depth that year and potentially the next year. That's why I'm kind of surprised that the Bills really did not do anything with those four fifth-round picks.
And in the latest version of Derek needs to shut up, the Buffalo Bills have not had a fourth-round pick since Gabriel Davis in 2020.
Really?
Yes.
He was their last one?
He was the last time that they've had a fourth-round selection. Typically, they've used that fourth to move up.
Ah.
So,
okay.
This is the first time they will have had a fourth-round pick, because they're not going to bail out of that, are they? They're not going to bail out of that, are they?
I don't think so.
They want six fifth-round picks.
I think they'd be moving up. All right, yeah. Let's take a timeout, and then when you come back, we'll get you Brandon Bean, who we are waiting patiently for, to jump on the podium. So we'll have that next coming up here on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Got him any more left in here?
Barely. The 11 all o'clock right. Hour chugs along. Brandon Bean set to recap day two of the NFL draft here shortly. We'll play that live when we get it. And, you know, any storylines that shocked you guys today? Any recap?
We mentioned it. I mean, it's the wide receiver class never really having its explosive run that we saw a number of other positions have. I mean, safety's had quite a bit of guys go. Cornerback, of course. Really the big stories, the trenches, offensive line, defensive line really going, including the Bills getting involved in that as well with Dwayne Carter. I think it is interesting that a guy like Troy Franklin has officially fallen to the fourth round, a guy that on Monday was seen as a fringe first round, early second round pick, maybe falls into the late second, early third, and instead he's going to be a fourth round pick, as is Javon Baker. Hopefully, he's hoping now follows suit with a former UCF receiver in Gabe Davis.
Poor testing. And then being a value pick.
I think it is interesting, too, that he's there. The Bills had him on a top 30 visit. Nothing.
Javon Baker?
Troy Franklin.
Troy Franklin, yeah.
Yeah.
They had him there. They had him early, I believe, as well. They had him multiple times and nothing.
Yep.
I think that is interesting. I think a lot of it, though, comes down to it's a gimmicky offense. He is very slight of frame.
I also think they had some needs they had to address.
I think as well. I think so, too. And I think they're seeing that this class of wide receivers, they can get him in the fourth, fifth, and they'll be fine.
waiting on Brandon Bean is what we're doing here. We're just waiting. I'm waiting for my head to hit the pillow. I am tired.
What happened to you, man? 10:30 happened, and you're like, I can't get through this.
No, I mean, I'm just, you know, I've been going for 2 days. I walked 24 holes today.
You played golf today.
Yeah, that's why. I'm tired. I walked a lot. I walked like 9 miles today.
Oh, boy, I got the giggles. I'm crying now.
Yeah. you know what the question I think that maybe I wonder if somebody like Brandon Bean might get asked or an answer I'd like to hear from Brandon Bean and the question get asked to him. Was this draft overhyped by the media of the wide receiver, the historic nature of
I think
how
the media, but also like just draft pundits. I mean, like guys like, and I brought up Matt Miller a lot as well, but like Matt Miller was a guy that was like banging the drum for the Bills to just go up and get one of these guys. But even also said like, if you want a wide receiver in round one, take one, like they'll be there.
And seven
went, yes, but it's just like after that, it just went to a snail's pace. A few teams here and there took them.
Including Buffalo.
Yeah, including Buffalo. But there was never this extended run. There was never this feeling of, okay, here it comes. Like, the last few drafts, which have not gotten the providence that this class has, have had those runs.
I mean, pick 33 is basically a first rounder, too.
It's basically a first rounder. That's fair.
So the Bills did kind of do it, but they also snagged a couple extra picks and enabled to do so.
Yep.
So I do think, though, like, it was right. Eight receivers going in 33 picks isn't what I would call a shallow class. That is probably as properly hyped as
it's
supposed to be.
But it's pretty much on par, and there was drafts over the last 3 years that have had more picks in the top three rounds.
Yeah, in the top three rounds, yes. But I'm saying, like, the way it was hyped and the fact that eight receivers go in 33 picks, that kind of made it live up to its expectation, and then the well dried up fast.
But there was talk that, like, by the end of round two, 17 guys could have gone.
I mean, that's just unrealistic.
And it's just, and it turned
well,
into.
Well, I think what happened was.
Unless you're defensive tackles now.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I think what happened was is some of these defensive tackles started going, and I think there was a bit of a panic on the defensive side of the ball.
I would say there's a bit of panic.
If you wanted a defensive player, you had to go up and get him.
Which is funny because we went through the first 14 picks and not one was taken.
Yeah.
I mean, we were here last night talking about that going.
I was slamming the league for the goofiness of it.
Well, and we were sitting there going, the Bills are going to pick a 28. Are they about to just kind of have to take a defensive player because the value
that's all that's
going to
be there,
is going to be we have to. And instead it went from once a defensive player went off the board, it became a run constantly or still. I mean, it got to a point. It became absurd at times as well how many offensive tackles and guards kept going off the board at a regular pace of pop that just was never stopping.
And that was the other part of this formula that was not talked about enough. Mm-hmm. It was deemed a deep offensive tackle and offensive line class.
Yeah, that's the one
thing
that
actually did end up living up to the consistency through three rounds mm-hmm. of that continuous run going on. There were more offensive tackles than there were more offensive tackles in the first round than wide receivers by one. Then the Bills take a wide receiver right away to start the second round, but then it became.
Then we immediately started it again.
Yeah, and then it was all over again of like, but then it was the defensive tackles that really took off. Ladd McConkey also going right after Coleman, by the way.
That's right.
Two basically first round threats that just end up right on the fringes. But then you had defensive tackle and corner runs.
I will also say another position, I mean, we obviously don't talk a ton about because we have Josh Allen here. We have not had a quarterback go off the board since 14 yesterday. Was that what the last quarterback was taken? Was 14 or was it 12?
12.
We have not had a quarterback go off the board since 12.
Yeah. So
we had six, and that's it.
We had six more offensive linemen in round two.
Than wide receivers? Or just total six more offensive linemen go? Oh, you're doing math. That's not good.
There were 10 more offensive linemen in round three.
Wow.
Than wide receivers? Or
I'm just talking about the total of offensive linemen. I am throwing the centers and guards into this as well.
No,
but
that's
it is just
fine.
But like offensive line really has gotten to be the bell of the ball. And it's just less sexy to talk about offensive linemen and hyping up
works.
Offensive linemen.
It always works.
Than it is to talk about wide receivers. Like that's all this was that it's just more sexy to talk about wide receivers. Whereas this offensive line class really was living up to its expectations.
Especially at a position that, I mean, we were talking about this maybe 2 or 3 hours ago. The league probably is falling in love with how good this class is because they just don't get good offensive linemen often. if you get a good offensive lineman, guess what doesn't hit the market? Almost ever is any good offensive tackle, guard, certainly center. I mean, when the Bills got Mitch Morse from the Chiefs, they had to make him the highest paid center in the league at the time. They just don't hit the open market. Even guys like Deion Dawkins, who really is never going to be an all-pro left tackle, but he's consistently a Pro Bowl left tackle, locked him in, and he's going to probably retire a Buffalo Bill. You just don't let those guys go. When the Bills got Osiris Torrance last year as a second-round pick, after many people thought he could have been a first-round value for them, he's probably not going to leave Buffalo for 10 years. They just don't hit the open market, and you saw a lot of teams kind of react to that of, no, we're going to get these guys when we can get these guys. I think as well you also saw some of the storylines as well. We had some running backs go off the board as well tonight. Blake Corum of Michigan goes, Trey Benson, Jonathan Brooks really being the surprising one to Carolina, who trades up to go get him, is interesting. I will say as well, earlier in the second round too, Philadelphia essentially overnight rebuilding their secondary and just, you know, bang for buck value. Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, just, I mean, they nailed it, I think, yeah, as well.
By the way, the final totals, 24 total offensive linemen taken in three rounds, 16 wide receivers. So
that is quite a bit.
Yeah, it's a decent size there. It's eight. So even if I took the guards and centers out of it, we would have pretty much a tie between the tackles and the receivers.
I'm starting to wonder, too, like, some of these guys we're bringing up, you know, a guy like Brendan Rice, maybe. Is he all of a sudden like a seventh-round pick?
Could be, yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Where it's just like there is just not enough here. Because I think especially because the wide receiver position has become so valuable in teams maybe not valuing the fifth-year option of the first-round picks because they know if they're good, we're going to pay them early. But also, we need them to be good. It's become such a vital position to a team. If you have a quarterback, you need to have receivers. We're seeing with the Bills, too, they've gone more to the well of, we just need really good talent around us, not necessarily one guy going off for 120 catches and 1,500 yards. We need a bunch of guys putting up maybe 800, 900 yards and being able to truly spread the offense around, spread the wealth. I do wonder if more teams, though, are just like, if it's not like a clear-cut number one guy, maybe we don't go after it. I now look at Jacksonville going to get Brian Thomas Jr., and I do wonder about that pick because we were talking yesterday about their wide receiver room. Yes, they lose Calvin Ridley, but they already had Zay Jones. They had Christian Kirk. There's another player I'm missing there that they have. Obviously, they have Brian Thomas Jr. now, but there's another receiver I'm missing for Jacksonville. Christian Kirk, Zay Jones.
It's someone else that's mid.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's all mid guys. I'm blanking.
Are you talking for Jacksonville right now?
For Jacksonville, yeah.
Gabe Davis.
Thank you.
That's right.
Thank you. But it's a bunch of mid guys.
Hey, you've been forgetting names too.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a bunch of mid guys. No one's really exploding, but maybe they just go get Brian Thomas Jr. because they're like, screw it. He fills a clear need that we have, which is go run straight, go get touchdowns.
They traded down and got some picks to do that.
They did.
Too,
I mean, they did.
Net win for Jacksonville.
They did. It's just it's kind of interesting how this has played out. Where for as hyped up of a draft as this was for the wide receiver position, really after the top three, it really did kind of fall down to pick your poison. What do you like? I mean, again, Ricky Pearsall went in the first round. I thought he was a third round pick.
Yeah,
but he goes to San Francisco in the first round. Along with that as well, all of these veteran receivers we were hearing that potentially could have been moved or maybe it gets a little exciting, including guys like Cortland Sutton, nothing, not a whisper even. The most we got today was that Buffalo and New England might be interested in Deebo Samuel, and that was shut down by like 2 in the afternoon.
By the way, so the Bills have that fourth-round pick. They have the four fifth-round picks. And I went and did some more digging. I said it was the last time that they had a fourth-round pick that they used was in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
They have only, with Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, they've only used one other fourth-round selection, by the way. The track record's great, 100%. Bangers only. Gabe Davis did very well for being a fourth-round pick, and the other one was Taron Johnson. So
that worked.
Use more fourth-round picks, guys.
Apparently.
Like, come on.
Apparently, they get very, very good value.
Bangers only in the fourth round. So I'm excited to see what they do with this. And with names like Javon Baker and Troy Franklin still hanging around.
Yeah.
Bangers only?
All right, let's take a timeout so that when Brandon Bean comes back, we don't have to try to catch up on any breaks at the top of the hour. So timeout, Brandon Bean on the other side here on WGR. All right, we are rolling live to Brandon Bean.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, that's the probably where I'd start, Ryan, is, you know, we like, in a perfect world, you like your safeties in this system to be interchangeable. We all know what, you know, Mike and Jordan brought here for so long is, you know, it's not the traditional box safety, you know, deep half safety. Not that you can't do that, but just to be able to do more packages and disguise, you like the guys who have the strength and physicality to play down here in the core, blitz, the different ways you guys have seen over the years following this team, but also go on the back half and take the ball away. And Cole, I would say, fits it to a T. Good blitzer, super smart. Didn't have a great amount of ball production, but we think in our system – he's got ball skills. You see him make plays. We think that'll improve. Really good blitzer and just an instinctive football player.
He mentioned that he has good coverage on tight ends. How important was that?
Yeah, it's funny. I interviewed we at the Senior Bowl. Was the first time we met him. And so naturally you're asking him his relationship with Dalton and things like that. And I said, how bad did Dalton abuse you in practice? And he said, no, I got the better of him. And I said, well, we'll ask Dalton. And so I texted Dalton about him, and he was just raving about him. And I think Dalton called me right after that or FaceTimed me when I was at the Senior Bowl, and he was just like, this kid, he's not lying. He got me more than I got him. And so I was like, all right, that's pretty honorable that you said that. I thought he was just trying to pump himself up. But, yeah, we – he really impressed us throughout the process. His knowledge of the game, his smarts. Everyone at Utah raves about him. And he's one of those players where, you know, sometimes when you're going through this process, coaches see players like this, you know, scouts, we see it like this. You're trying to make sure you're on the same page. What do you see? What do we see? Probably one of the most consensus players on our board. Everyone saw exactly the same thing. Easy to put him on our board. And, you know, it was one of those ones I got lucky nobody took my call. We were trying to move up to get him a little earlier. And, you know, it was almost like Saibo last year. We were inching to try to get up, not crazy far, but the single digits away and couldn't get any takers.
How much of a special teams role can he play as well if he's not playing defense right away?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a guy who ran in the 4.4s, mid, you know, 4.43, 4.44, something like that. He's got the toughs and do that. You know, they didn't always have him do that, but he's got the DNA, the makeup, you know, so, yes, he'll have a role there.
Did Darwin Kincaid text you his name in the second round?
No, you know what? He didn't until we did, but I did text Dalton knowing. Dalton has asked me since he's been back multiple times, and I found out after we took him that he's asked other people about him to put a good word in for him. But as you know, you guys have already met him. He almost feels like another Dalton Kincaid, the personality, and just yes sir, no sir, loves ball. He's just going to come in, not say anything. He's just going to play.
There was a clip that went out from the team that showed you reaction right after the pick, kind of like the hat and fist
yeah.
Or whatever you did there.
Yeah.
Did you feel like this was a position and this was a guy at this spot that needed to have it?
You know, it's more just following the board. Could have been a different position. But, yeah, we, you know, obviously, Jordan and Micah's, you know, they're not currently here, and we'll see what Mike ends up doing. But to add a guy that fits our defense the way he does and where we had him on the board, you know, you just – when you set your board and it starts falling and you see pieces around it falling, you're just – when you get 10, 9, 8 picks away and you're – we got multiple people calling to try and move up just to secure him. Like, I would have been thrilled giving up, you know, something in the draft, you know, fourth, fifth round to go get him. And, you know, sometimes people take it. Sometimes people want to stay and take their pick. And so everyone we were talking to wanted to stay and pick. So then you're just waiting it out. And so that was the excitement. Like, wow, we waited and got him. And now we still got all our ammo.
Brandon, every year you tell us that, you know, you're following your board. I believe. I'm not doubting that.
Think I'm a liar, John?
No. But every year you seem to come out with addressing the needs that you need to address.
Yeah.
Today being receiver safety and getting depth at defensive tackle. What's the secret? I mean, we're not saying you're a liar, but you certainly do come out with the pieces that you need.
Yeah, I mean – and that's part of, like, what we, as I told you, let's go to last night. We had receivers on the board, and we had some guys on defense on the board that were similar value. We do know the need is wide receiver. If the wide receivers were cleaned out, then we would have just took one of those defensive players. But that was the, you know, the reason we moved back. We have similar players here. We think we can get some more ammo trying to get back in the third, and, you know, what we ended up doing with Carolina to go back one more pick made sense. We were going to still get what we were looking for. So what you're trying to do is hit – you are trying to hit needs when you can, but you're trying to make sure they hit the value on the board. So in the case of Cole, the reason I was trying to trade up was we had a good second-round grade on him. And the board was getting cleaned out of the second round. He was the only player we had left with a second round grade at that point. So that's why you're counting it down. And, you know, we were trying to, you know, I wanted to still get a player with a second round value. That's why I started doing that. So I am following my board. I wouldn't have been as antsy. It could have been a different position. It didn't have, you know, if we had some other positions at second round, then it's easier to sit there. Okay, if he goes, well, I still got this defensive end and whatever else. But that's why I got antsy, because I'm going, really, I'm going to be at two and probably picking out a three, or then maybe I trade back and get something else.
You worked out.
Yes, it did. It did. Yeah, it was huge. Well, I wasn't patient. I just – no one took my call, or they took it, but they politely declined. That's what I said upstairs. We struck out and we won because no one did a deal with us.
You've told us before that, you know, you like to go to bed at night knowing that you were able to pick your guy. This is not meant to be a knock on Keon, but you've probably known all day that he was going to be your guy. So
yeah.
Does that make the Cole Bishop one maybe even more gratifying or more exciting for you guys?
I think it was more dramatic just because the countdown, you know, everyone in the room can kind of hear myself, Terrence Gray, Brian Gain, making the calls, writing down, them telling me who's interested, me making a call too. So just getting off the phone, comparing what it was. And you're doing that while the picks – so then you hear the picks in, you're looking, and you're like, okay, we can still do it. Because if Cole Bishop goes with six picks to go, then you just stop and decide, now are we moving back or are we going to take someone, you know, early in three?
Brandon, you've always had – you know, you had 7 years of Micah and Jordan. And early on, Kirk Coleman was here when he needed to. Dean Marlowe's coming back. You signed Taylor, you signed Mike. What I'm getting to is you've always had veterans there.
Yeah.
You don't play young guys that much at that position. What goes into having to play that position at a young age and an inexperienced age?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot mentally. You know, we'll have to – get him up to speed. It's probably one of the harder positions, you know, to go in. It's not quarterback level, but when you're talking about middle linebacker and safety, those are probably the two hardest on defense from a mental standpoint. All you got to know, you got to be able to communicate. You got to be confident in what you see. the checks. You're another coach out there. You're talking to the other DBs on what's going on, communicating with the back seven. So, you know, you love the leadership that he's got. You love the intelligence. He's got a lot of the intangibles, the DNA that we look for in all players, and especially at that position. It's one that we almost mandate in this defense to have success, and that's part of the excitement to get a player like this. Yeah, it's kind of cool. He was born on the same day as my son, so I looked it up, and so it was kind of cool. It is? Wow. Well, October 24th. Well, you're the same age as me. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. No. Yeah, but it was no, that was kind of cool. But yeah, Josh liked a lot of them, and Keon, he definitely had an affinity for, saw the size, the basketball ability, mentioned, you know, I think he mentioned some of the abilities, he'll be able to adjust, if I have to throw it behind him, because not every player has that ability. So, yeah, I have not talked to Josh tonight. You know, I talked to him earlier today, and he was asking what we were thinking, and I mentioned that he could be a possibility. We're going to see what happens, see if we get an offer we couldn't refuse, but that was where we were leaning.
When Carter plays 50 games in college, how does that help the transition to learn what you need him?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys. He's going to be plug and play in my mind. He's smart. He's going to make everybody around him. He's a tough dude. You know, leader, three-year captain, DNA, intangibles. He's going to make the guys around him better, you know, and we'll see where he's at. Sometimes you can find guys that really have that niche inside to call games and things like that. I don't want to say he's got that today, but that's something that he can do. He has the intelligence factor. Obviously, he went to Duke, not North Carolina. And so he's – you know, really excited about what he's going to bring. Just guy plays hard, relentless motor. A lot of the DNA that we look for, you know, in our defensive line, defensive tackle, you know, per se.
He was on the Zoom call, and he actually stood up from the Zoom call, put his Zoom on mute, to tell his family to shut up. And he said, my parents have always told me that I've got something to say, I need to say something. Comfort and knowing that he's an adult at 23, how important is that?
Huge. You're always looking for when you can add leaders to positions. And, you know, we talked about Cole and all that, being a young guy, 21. This is a grown – I would say he is mature beyond his years, being around him through the process this spring. And I think that shows – you know, right there, he politely asked me what took us so long to call him, and he did it in a nice way. So I said we were just waiting on the right moment here.
How do you balance a rotational guy with a third round pick? Right, like he's going to play.
Yeah.
But it's not a guy. You say plug and play, but this isn't a guy like, you know, Cyber comes in, he plays every snap.
Yeah.
Even just a second rounder. You know, going in, your system requires guys to rotate. How do you balance that with your board saying, is that too high because he's a rotational guy?
No, because we value line play, and that's just our choice to rotate as much. Some teams rotate less. Some teams, the starters, play more like 65, 70, and 30, 35 for the backups. You know, we rotate them even more. We look at the D-line, you know, in a perfect world, we'd love to have 8, 9 starters. That's not realistic from a pay cap standpoint, but – it takes more than the O-line. It's just differently. You're coming in waves. You got packages from run packages to rush packages, getting your best guys out there, you know, different quarterbacks, who you want in the game, whether it's a mobile quarterback or a guy that's just going to, you know, play from the pocket. And so you're trying to look for as many versatile pieces up front that you can to give the coaches – you know, different. You run into different teams, how you're going to have to defend them. And some guys, as we know, are better run defenders. Some are better pass rushers. I think he's kind of a tweener. I think he could play both for us. And he'll naturally improve. He's got the DNA, you know, at this level. It'll take him some time, but you love what he's going to bring. Yeah, it felt good. I knew I was, you know, yesterday you never know how it's going to fall. And, you know, to make this, it's never easy to trade back when there's players on the board and you don't know how it's going to play out. But I think it helped us add some picks to get value. And so at the end of the day, we like what we've come away with. And we think tomorrow, what are we sitting with, 7 picks still? So there's some guys on the board. We'll see how it falls, whether we move up or down based on that. But we still feel like there's some good opportunities. And today was fun to get 3 guys. Normally it's a, you know, your max is probably 2. And as the week started, it was only going to be 1 pick unless we traded back. So, no, it was fun. Excited about tomorrow and see what other pieces we can add. Yeah, I mean, I think this guy's all ball, and I think Josh knows that we're going to need him to get up to speed, and we're going to be counting on him early in his role. Sometimes you're bringing in rookies, and you're just saying, hey, you know, barring injury, you're probably not going to start, you know, help us on special teams or something else like that. In this case, you know, it's no secret we needed to add, you know, a guy like him to fill this X role that's vacant. And so that's part of what you're considering. And you know, we're not going to try to push him too fast, but we're going to press him. And we think we got good guys in the room. Adding a Mac Hollins, his DNA, you know, you guys will be around him. Love what he's brought so far just to the offseason program and what a pro he is. You know, veterans like that, you know, in the room will help him. Shakir is going in his 3rd year. So I think it'll be Josh for sure, but the other guys around him in that room will all put their arms around him and support him.
We're going to focus on 50-50 balls and contested catches with him. You think back to, you know, early Josh Allen's career, pivoting away from maybe players in that category. Do you feel like that he has traits that, you know, maybe different traits, not just that, maybe separates him from some of the early receivers?
Yeah, I mean, we've had kind of different mixes. Yeah, you're right. The 1 year we were pretty small with, what was it, 2019, with Cole and John Brown and that crew. It's, you'd like to always have enough size, enough pieces that have speed, some that have separation quicks. That it's hard to find them all unless you take those guys, you know, that you saw go really early last night. And you know, we've talked about it before, you got to lose a lot of games to do that. So I think, you know, the strengths that Keon have are his physicality, playing above the rim. Is he a 4-4 guy? No. If he was, he would go in the area that I was just referring to. But he's, you know, he can win. He's got really good release package for a college player, kid who's 20. It'll improve, you know. He's going to play tougher corners, so he'll have to improve with it. But I think Josh will work with him and help him. I think the receivers, obviously Adam Henry and you know, Joe Brady and those crew will all put their arms around this kid and say, you know, we all know we need him, and to get him here and get him up to speed mentally and physically. Yeah, I think Josh is planning to do something like that. So I know he'll make sure Keon's there, and hopefully most all of them can make it. You know, I know it is during their downtime, but I don't know specifically, but I know he said he's got some things lined up for them to be able to do that. Yeah, he is young, and I think the maturity of the guys in that room, the maturity of our offense, obviously our quarterback, who he is, we all know he's the face and the leader. And, you know, I believe he'll be very excited or is currently already very excited to have him. So I think everyone's going to pour into him on what's expected, how to be a pro, how you're going to learn this offense. We're counting on you. Like, don't show up out here and not know your plays or how to line up. It'll take him a little time. But, you know, I think it's that fine line of staying on him but letting him have his personality. And there's, as we all know, you guys have all been covering this business, receivers come in a lot of different flavors and personalities, and he brings a tough dog. The ball's in the air. I'm going to get it. This man's trying to press me. I'm going to physically, you know, work my way through him. Some guys are more finesse. I would say Keon is the complete opposite of finesse, but he still has good athletic abilities. Like I said earlier, he's not a stiff player. He's a loose basketball athlete, which does help him, you know, the game translate for him at receiver.
Brandon, you mentioned earlier having some players that you're, you know, still excited about as you reset your board tonight. Do you feel tomorrow with 7 picks that you're pretty well positioned where you can be aggressive to maybe make some moves potentially up to get guys that you think could, you know, contribute, you know, maybe early in their careers?
Yeah, I do. I think we'll have to see them. Where it's how quickly it kind of clears out. We're down the round a little bit, but we'll, you know, I'm not planning to go up right away, but we'll see how it falls. If it's looking like, man, we're going to have some options, we may sit there. If it's kind of like what was happening, you know, in the second round, then I would definitely use some of those fives to go up and get. There are some players that, you know, not necessarily expect them to come in and start, but they can fill some roles, whether it's backups or special teams. Yeah, John. You know, you're always trying to learn and do things the best you can, and every decision that I've always made is to try to, you know, what's best for the Buffalo Bills, not what's best for me or this coach or this player. It's, you know, and you know, it's when you're talking about trading up there, you know, I would just, like I said earlier at one point, like I would have to know, man, that one player, it's dangerous to say you're one player away. You know what I mean? And if you're going up for a quarterback or things like that, some elite pass rusher, I totally get it. It's just really hard from as far back as we were to go into the top 10 where, you know, a couple of those top receivers were. And what you're going to have to mortgage, you know, I've never found it to make complete sense. I haven't seen where, and there may be, you know, I haven't studied this every single move. But I haven't seen where doing that means you're going to get over the top. Like, I've seen it when you need to go get your franchise quarterback, or if you haven't been able to protect him and you need a tackle, like I 100% could see you doing that. I just feel like the way our offense is set up, the pieces we already have, let's just add to it and make sure we have the depth in other places, because we all know you have some years where you get injured, and if you don't have viable pieces ready to come in, and it doesn't matter what you did, it, you know, if you can't block and run the ball and do all those things, you can have Jerry Rice and all the great receivers out there. If Josh is running for his life, it won't matter. Thank you. Okay, see you guys tomorrow.
All right, Bills general manager Brandon Bean following day two of the NFL draft. A busy day two, 3 picks in total. The Bills get Keon Coleman, Cole Bishop, and Dwayne Carter. We'll be back tomorrow. Derek Kramer kicks things off with Sports Talk Saturday, 11 a.m. sharp tomorrow morning. Then Zach and I will add our commentary and kick off day 3 of the NFL draft at noon Eastern tomorrow. So join us then here on our continuing coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.